You guys ever think about the heat death of the universe?
Wait, why are we at a campfire? Weren't we just at a campfire?
Yeah, but like, shut up though.
I think about it a lot, like all the time.
Just saying we don't have to be at a campfire for this.
You know what? Just for that, I'm going to throw some more wood on the campfire.
Please don't.
Too late. Oh, there's one.
Come on. I made that sound effect. I'm not proud of it. I don't want to keep using it.
Ooh, there's another one.
I'm going to kill you. And what's more, I'm going to like it.
And there's three more.
Yeah, aren't you going to be surprised when there's no sound at all? Just silence.
Brian, no, my bit!
I think about the heat death of the universe a lot because when we were kids, it was presented as the first great inevitability. Like, even if we make it, we as a species, I mean, even if we survive climate change, wars, famine, our own sun exploding, we're never going to outrun the universe reaching thermodynamic equilibrium and every living thing just freezing to death. And we're told that at, like, six. Like, isn't that kind of fucked up?
You think about this all the time?
No, not, like, actively. It just kind of hums there in the back of my skull.
Well, don't worry. Climate change is going to get us there so much faster than the universe ending.
Well, climate change is nuts, you guys.
AJ, where did you get those marshmallows?
I found them.
You found them? Where did you find them?
Around.
Give me those. At least roast them first, goddamn fucking prick.
Are you happy that we bought that campfire
we
now?
We didn't buy it! We got it for free on the internet! It is a sound effect!
You can get things for free on the internet? Oh my,
so, like, I used to do this thing where I'd blink my eyes in class and I'd pretend it was the heat death. Just like, blink, gone, blink, gone, blink, gone. And mostly during bio, because that class was boring as fuck. Sorry, Mrs. Kitts, but you were bad at your job. And I don't think I was the only one wishing it would all be over. But sometimes I still do it. Like when I get really stressed out or I feel the world closing in on me, I just blink, gone, blink, gone, blink. I don't know. Like, I think the universe might be ending.
I mean, yeah, probably. Marshmallow?
No.
So many possible worlds, but we got this one. So many possible worlds, but we got this one.
Welcome to the Worst of All Possible Worlds, the first and only podcast that is still chewing on their marshmallows that they decided to actually buy to do that bit.
And actually eat.
Instead of just going, look, see how I just did that? I'm the worst of all possible Brians.
I'm the worst of all possible AJs.
Oh my God, you people. I'm the worst of all possible Joshes. And this week, we're talking about the hit ska band, the Cherry Popping Daddies.
No, we are not.
Hold on. This is not in my notes. The what?
There's a band. You hear about this? Mm. The band is called the Cherry Popping Daddies.
The Cherry Popping Daddies. They're not just Cherry Popping Daddies? Like
actually,
Eagles?
I don't know if they have the definitive article or not.
What do you mean, like
it?
Eagles?
They are Eagles.
No, it's
not
Eagles.
Eagles.
What the fuck? You fucking prick.
Yeah.
You marshmallow-eating motherfucker.
I'm dead fucking serious. Look it
Eagles.
Up. It's Eagles. Look
Eagles.
It up. Look it up. The name of the band is
the
Eagles.
Is the ground of haters.
That's insane.
There is
no
definite article.
Okay, on Wikipedia it says the Eagles. Right. Well, it shouldn't because the name
it
of the
shouldn't.
Band
it's
is...
The, it's Eagles.
Oh my...
You don't say the fish.
Okay. You don't.
Okay, so I'm taking the reins on this one.
AJ, you fucking liar. Look, it's on Eagles.
What do you mean?
If you go to Wikipedia and you type in the Eagles, it redirects to Eagles. Band.
Yeah, and read the first paragraph aloud for me, will you, Josh?
Yeah, the bold Eagles, but well, there shouldn't
is
be the
art. In bold?
No, it's not.
But then later on, they keep saying the Eagles.
Well, that's because they're incorrect. It's yeah. Eagles.
Oh my God. You know what?
Just
we've
like
said Eagles. If
cherry
we say,
popping daddies.
If we say Eagles anymore, we're going to actually summon the entire city of Pittsburgh.
What if we say,
you know, they love wearing zoot suits over there. There's going to be a riot.
It's a regular riot.
What will we summon if we keep saying cherry popping daddies?
We will summon the entire population of Eugene, Oregon,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, for God. Okay. I am taking.
That's where they're from.
I'm taking the reins on this
Eugene
one.
Eugene Meltzner, Oregon.
I picked out the topic for this week's episode, which
yeah, the cherry
is,
popping
which
daddies.
Is why we're just going to talk about the cherry popping
daddies
instead.
You're so mean to me.
I'm yeah. Nice.
Who doesn't love it when a cherry pops their daddy?
In this economy,
can God create a cherry? so strong that not even a daddy could pop it.
Well, God is the daddy, right? You have God the cherry popping daddy, yeah. God the cherry popping son, God the cherry popping Holy Spirit. So other than Josh's weird fixation today on the cherry popping daddies.
We are doing an AJ episode. We are talking about the hit 2019 indie game Outer Wilds, made by Mobius Digital Games and published by Annapurna Interactive.
Yep. Which I bet a lot of people in Eugene, Oregon like this game.
If you have two eyeballs and a heart, I think it's very difficult not to like this game.
It's very Pacific Northwest coded, especially if you play the DLC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Let's just talk about the thing about Outer Wilds, the sort of thing surrounding this game, right? Which is that you are not supposed to talk about Outer Wilds.
Yeah, so for everyone, this is a game that is entirely about discovery of things in it. You know, when you know what to do, the game itself takes about 10 minutes to beat.
Yeah, right. It's like Myst. You can just do the whole thing from the very beginning. Yeah.
So the further we get into it, the more there will be spoiled. I think if you haven't played this game before, you're probably going to want to stop this episode after we talk about the tutorial.
Yes.
Because, like, spoiling a tutorial doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
But from then on out, it's just a bunch of stuff that's just what the game is.
And we're gonna warn you about that beforehand. I just did. Yeah, I know. Well, like right before we do it, like I think I am a real
cherry popping gentleman and I cherry pop told them exactly when they can cherry pop and turn off the podcast.
Cherry popcorn and I don't care.
How did you first hear about Outer Wilds?
How did I hear about it? I think it was actually my friend, my college roommate, Emery. Hello, Emery, if you're listening to this, I know you listen to our show, recommended it to me. And so I went and I played through it and had a delightful little time with it. And like you said, it's a game that rewards exploration. It's a game that holds your hand, but doesn't tell you exactly what to do. And so much of the joy of the game comes in that exploration. And that's core to the experience.
This is a time loop game. It's like The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask or the second Fear and Hunger game or Deathloop.
The time loop in sort of in and of itself is very video game-y, like, because you die in video games and you restart at the beginning of the level, which is itself a form of loop, right? This is just very literalizes the time loop. So I first got exposed to this game because my roommate D introduced me to it, and I think I played it. I got through the tutorial, I got in the spaceship, and I immediately crashed into the moon and died. So I bounced off the game. I was just like, this game is not for me, but she eventually...
And your ship bounced too.
That's right, Brian.
It sure did. I was brought back into the game and a little bit later, because she really convinced me to do it, and I bounced off again because I didn't know where I was going and I didn't understand the controls and I didn't know how to use the ship's computer. And then I finally stuck it out because I watched this video essay by this guy named Daryl Talks Games called Outer Wilds is Not a Video Game, which clued me into a very specific...
Well, that's just not true. It's literally a video game.
Okay. All right. Oh, ding.
I got it on a PlayStation. What else do you do on a PlayStation? Okay, I watch a lot of TV, but still.
No, true. But it is like, he clued me into a very specific gameplay thing, which we'll talk about a little bit later, that made it so I could actually push through the game. And I'm so glad I did, because honestly, I think it's one of the best endings in video games. I don't know if I'll see something as emotionally affecting as this for a very long time to come. I think Night in the Woods did this to me, and I think maybe Outer Wilds did, but it's very rare.
I think for me, my experience was almost the opposite, where I was like really drawn into sort of the storytelling of the game itself in the way that I was exploring different stuff. And then I got to the ending, I was like, okay, but you know, different strokes for different folks. So I'll be interested to talk more about it.
For me, the problematic part of this game was the middle.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the story. Everything to do with I'm pretty sure I know what I'm supposed to be doing and it's not fucking working.
Right. Or like for me,
because this game is difficult, but it's also inexact. You know what you're supposed to accomplish, and yet you don't quite know how you're supposed to do it. And you can try the same thing 15 times over and it's still not going to fucking work.
Yeah, well, and it's not like another example of, I think, a game that feels similar in some ways, Myst or Riven or any of the Cyan games, where it's pretty like prescribed in terms of what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. Whereas Outer Wilds gives you a tremendous degree of freedom to go around, explore, and interact with the world However you want.
Yeah, well, and for the most part, what you do is you're not really working with an apparatus. It's different for the DLC for sure.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you don't touch things. You don't turn knobs or pull levers. So it's not like, oh, you click on this thing. Mm-hmm. Most of your interaction with the world is how you move through it or how you look at it.
I mean, again, if you had a spaceship in Myst, I think it would be sort of a very different experience because you have to.
Yeah, because that rocket, it doesn't take off, folks.
No,
it
sure doesn't.
False advertising.
And that fucking thing that goes through the maze. When makes the dings, that's not a rocket ship at all.
That's a mine cart
situation. That's right.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about how Outer Wilds got made. Let's talk about the background of this thing.
Yeah, because it didn't start with Annapurna Interactive.
It sure did not. It started with a guy named Alex Beecham, who was a student at USC in their...
The University of...
Back in the 19th century, when the Methodists crossed the frontier and founded the University of Southern California.
Methodists?
Yeah, Methodists.
Was it really a Methodist institution?
I didn't know that. Hmm. You know, USC has produced many notable alumni, including James Dobson.
Including James Dobson, including my pawpaw.
Your pawpaw?
My pawpaw.
Sorry.
My grandfather
does change it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not,
your paw's paw.
My papa. No, I wasn't wearing. Oh, mine, papa.
To you. You're so beautiful.
Yes, you are right, Brian. I looked it up. Congratulations. Yes, originally operated in affiliation with the Methodist Church. The school mandated from the start that no student would be denied admission because of race. That's from Wikipedia.
Wow. Thanks, Methodists.
And USC has never done anything bad with race.
Nope.
Ever since.
Nope.
No. Neither,
flawless track record.
Neither has my papa.
Oh.
He's been dead for 85 years.
Well, Herman's been dead for about 30 now. Mm. So it's, you know, he's not bothering anyone, least of all his congressman anymore.
Oh, boy.
He loved writing his congressman and he was a little insane.
So Alex Beecham is at USC and he's working on his thesis project, which is the project that would eventually become Outer Wilds.
Well, and it's not even just his thesis project. He's worked on a bunch of projects throughout his time at school, a few of which have involved placing things on orbiting spherical bodies, right? He wanted to play with gravity the way that Super Mario Galaxy did, although he ends up doing something far more complex than that.
Infinitely more complex than that. He had to hire math people just to be able to like make sure all the gravity worked.
Like, and so like a bunch of different ideas, like he wanted to have a world where it was sort of up on these braces that would get hit by meteors and then it falls apart.
Mm. Yeah.
And so then that is just inherently, well, you need to put it back together somehow. Mm-hmm. So you have to just introduce a time loop.
Oh,
with
sure.
How you're experiencing it
and how things sort of change over time.
So he creates this alpha build that's basically cobbled together from a bunch of school projects that he did.
Yeah, he did a school project where he designed a probe. He did he got a prompt for one of them that said, make something with the uncertainty principle. So he introduced the quantum rocks.
Yeah.
Where you look away and they appear. And he sort of just duct tapes all of that together into a larger game. And one of the first things he makes while he's at USC is this spaceship. And it becomes sort of this the fulcrum on which the whole game turns. At a certain point, he is tasked with making an emotional build of the game, which is where it's not like there's no gameplay in it, really. There's no ending. You just have to make a version of the game that will explain to people how you want players to feel while playing.
Yeah. And this game looks very like Nintendo 64, kind of muddy graphics.
Yeah.
Well, this is, I mean, for a game at this stage of development, that's not at all uncommon. You can go back and you can look at the old builds of Portal before Valve got a hold of that when those guys were still students at DigiPen, right?
Or like Gone Home when they had built it in the Amnesia engine.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Gone Home, they basically built everything in this alpha build. You can still find it by going to like the Internet Archive and download the alpha build.
Yeah.
Every single planet that ends up in the final game is there in the alpha build.
But I do want to pull it back to just this initial emotional build. Because before he put in even most of the planets, he designs a thing where he puts the player on a planet with a campfire and a bunch of marshmallows and the ability to roast those marshmallows. After a few minutes, the sun explodes and it slowly gobbles up every planet one by one until finally it consumes the player. Mm-hmm. In 2015, he releases this alpha build to the internet for free.
Yeah.
And people start sharing it around. You know, have you checked out this game with actual Newtonian physics? This alpha build ends up winning the Independent Games Festival Seamus McNally Grand Prize in 2015. And this is like launched it straight into the stratosphere, right? Annapurna comes in, acquires it pretty quickly.
Yeah, even just before this, they get crowdfunded on what was then a new platform called Fig.
Yes.
And Fig differentiated itself from stuff like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, other micro investment platforms, as they call themselves, because you actually invested in it.
Yeah.
You would make money back. And because this was then acquired by Annapurna Interactive, everyone made about an extra third on top of what they invested back.
Including one man who you might have heard of known as Tim Schafer.
Yes, he's listed in those many, many credits at the end, yeah.
There's also a surprise executive producer on Outer Wilds who was one of the co-founders of Mobius Digital Games.
I don't think they were trying to surprise anyone.
No. This is just surprising to us.
Yeah.
Because the game studio was founded by Loan Vernu and Masioka.
Yeah. Heroes.
Yeah. And actually
is not the hero, is hero.
He is hero. He is not, he is one of the many
heroes.
He is heroes.
One of the many heroes.
He is Eagles from Eagles.
He is Eagles from Eagles.
He is Eagles from Cherry Pop and Daddy.
He also starred in exactly one episode.
Cherry Pop.
He also starred in one episode of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip as himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when Masioka is not just an actor. Yeah. And also not just a video game producer.
No.
He used to work with Industrial Light and Magic. He worked on all three of the prequels of the Star Wars movies.
A true renaissance man.
Truly. I was really impressed going through his resume for this. Once they found Mobius Digital Games, like they can actually bring on a whole staff of people.
Yeah.
There's Wesley Martin, who was brought on as art director for the thing, which gives its game.
Yeah, they can finally make it look good.
It kind of gives it like its signature sort of like cozy / threatening vibe.
Yeah. There's sort of a you feel like you can kind of chew on it all, like it's a little candy, a little soft taffy feeling. And that is a fucking lie that is drawing you in to hurt you.
This game is brutal, or as a character in the game says in one of the logs, that the universe simply is.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's one of the secret sauces of the game is that things just happen in the universe regardless of what you do. Mm-hmm. Like you do affect change, but it will go on spinning with or without you there.
You will note this throughout the game. Everything is on a timer. Yeah. Every single thing. And the way that these systems and the way that these planets are interacting with each other, the way that things happen on the planets, all of this timing, everything has to be precisely orchestrated in a very specific way. Something that's interesting about the way that this game runs is that you can't really run it at a higher frame rate than 60.
No.
It will technically run faster than that, but like in terms of what you'll actually see, the game itself is built in such a way that it is counting every frame because everything needs to happen on a frame specific basis.
Yeah. And they also need to account for the fact, like if you have left a probe on one planet and take a picture of the geyser on a different planet, that it needs to be happening
Both of those things. There's also the factor of, because certain things happen late in a run, and sometimes that's the only thing you need to do, you want to be able to wait around, right? So they have a feature where you can sit at a campfire and sleep and wait for that thing to happen. But they have to keep all of these simulations going because this is not just purely scripted either.
Right.
These are all actual systems interacting with each other. For instance, there is a planet that is falling apart and it's getting hit by a bunch of meteors, and each segment that gets hit by a meteor falls into the core of the planet. If your ship gets hit by one of those meteors, the meteor explodes in space and then it won't hit that part of the planet. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's not on a strict script.
Right.
So because that simulation has to keep going, the time condensation that you do by sleeping at a fire is not that fast.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fast, but
it's not going to just zoom ahead 5 minutes because it can't.
It is speeding up the simulation, but it is a real physics simulation with real objects that are in motion. And if the one thing I noticed too, if you quit and then try to reload the game, it takes a little bit because it's got to reset everything first.
Yeah.
This is not what you do when you're making your first video game.
Not at all.
This reminds me of a story that Shigeru Miyamoto talks about, because he was going to school before there was such a thing as a game design degree, right? He's an old man. He was studying design, and he talked about the first class he ever took. They had this assignment, design a chair.
Yeah.
All the other students went off and they started studying chairs. They did all of this work. They were looking at trends. They were looking at, oh, maybe I want to make this kind of chair. Let's look at what an Adirondack chair would be like, or, you know, sure, whatever kind of tradition they're going to draw from.
Yeah.
And Miyamoto was like, I wonder what it would be like to sit on a rope. What if a chair was just made out of rope? And then he just kind of tried to figure out how to make that work. And that's what this game is. Like, yeah, what if I did something that was on a spherical object? What if I did something right, using orbiting bodies that were interacting with each other and falling apart? What right, if, what if that ended up being on a time loop too? You know, and it's all very counterintuitive for what you would want to do when you are at the very beginning of your career.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And that's Alex Beecham. That's the Alex Beecham promise, is that he's going to do something really fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, and he's going to do something really fucking crazy. And if he's going to do that, he has to do it with his lifelong creative partner, which is his sister,
Kelsey
Beecham.
Yeah.
Who, I'll say she does.
I don't even know how to unpack that. Is it
we're not going to.
Don't do it.
Okay, I'm don't sorry. All right, him. No, that's fair.
So Alex Beecham has a YouTube channel. He has not deleted his old videos. Aww. He's had this YouTube channel since he was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
But like, yeah, you can see like some of the builds for other games he was making in college. Okay. Other projects that he was working on. And you can even see the many short films that he made when he was in high school in like 2006, 2007,
that's
or whatever.
Charming as fuck.
And yeah, of course, his sister is also in them. Yeah, and like, yeah. It really transported me back. I mean, some of these videos have just a few hundred views.
That's
it's
awesome.
Kind of amazing. But yeah.
Well, that's lovely. And she handles all the narrative text in.
Yeah,
she is the
narrative director on this. Yeah.
And they also brought in Andrew Pralo, who is the composer of Outer Wilds,
the music is maybe the most important part of setting the tone. Right?
Yes.
I think that's probably why I picked up the game, is because I saw some YouTube video, maybe just the trailer or something, but I heard the banjo and I was like, okay, this seems pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also that thing that when I booted this up,
it hit the Sufjan nerve in my skull.
Exactly. Exactly. And also it's one of those things that when I booted it up for the first time and the song starts playing, my roommate who recommended the game to me started crying and I was like, what is it? And she said, you'll see.
Yeah.
As will all of you very soon. So
yeah. Anyway, for more information on the creation of this game, just check out the NoClip documentary.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic. So Annapurna picks this thing up and they're like, well, we could just regurgitate this as a student project, or we could make it an Annapurna interactive experience.
Yeah.
And so they throw
money. There is kind of a unified look as to like things that Annapurna has.
God, you know,
there's sort of a feel, right?
Yeah, like good would it be to have your dad be like the third richest person in the world? Wouldn't that be fucking great?
It'd be pretty cool.
I'm so jealous of Megan Ellison. She just gets to do whatever the fuck she wants. Do you remember when Annapurna was like about to go bankrupt and Larry Ellison
and
personally guaranteed the company's debt?
Holy shit.
Because it's like, yeah, he's good for it. He owns like 10 islands.
And I mean, look how much good art has come out of it.
It's true.
Know? I mean, sometimes
I own three islands and they only lose money for me. It's been a disaster. Hurricane after hurricane.
It's because you keep insisting on making.
Plus, that one guy who was renting two of them from me died in prison in 2019.
Oh,
it's because you tried to make Cherry Fest happen on those islands. And
look,
turns out
the daddy said they were good for it. The daddies lied to me.
You gave them little.
They call themselves the daddies now. It's like the Dixie Chicks.
They do not do that.
After the Civil War between Pittsburgh and Eugene, Oregon, when Eugene, of course, is the cherry popping capital of the world, and they were clearly in the wrong because they also had slaves. Stop me.
So now they're just the daddies. Well, because here's the thing, right? Your biggest problem, I think, with Cherry Fest was that you gave everyone those lunches inside little like cardboard boxes, and the picture that went out to the internet that everyone remembers was it was just filled with maraschino cherries.
Is this a Fire Fest joke? What's going
He's
on
trying
here?
To do a Fire Fest joke, but like
and succeeding. The thing is,
we were very generous with the cherries, and then unfortunately, President Zachary Taylor died.
Oh.
Yeah, that really fucked
things
up for you.
And I do want to say we did not provide the milk.
Yeah, where were they getting the milk from?
The cows.
President Zachary Taylor?
Taylor.
There was a President James Tyler.
There was a Tyler.
President Zachary Tyler Taylor.
Zachary
Tyler Taylor Thomas.
Zachary Ty Bryan.
This is going to be a lot less funny in the edit, but the point is, he was the original cherry popping daddy, and
that's
I just
right.
needed to say
that's
that.
That's right, and they killed him for
that's
it.
That's right.
The cherries did.
So we go through this entire development process. We get out the other side on May 28th, 2019, Outer Wilds releases to overall positive reviews. There's a lot of like 8 out of 10s on
to
there.
Almost entirely positive yeah. reviews. Yeah, there are yeah. a couple middle of the road reviews that are still trending positive.
What were the sort of like mixed reviews? What beef did they have with it?
It was
basically the beef that I had, which is that it gets a little weird in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the jankiness of the spacecraft was talked about, but it was just like they're like, you know, you can learn to get used to it over yeah. time. And then there
sure,
was also
I didn't have
like
that much trouble with the spacecraft, to be honest with you, because you can autopilot. You can take yeah. off from the planet. You can click the little stick and then it targets the planet that you need to go to. And then it's going to do most of everything it needs to do.
Most of everything. And that's sort of the key, right? Yeah. Because then it can lead you to disaster. But
sure.
A lot of it, too, was that like when it launched, the final puzzle for this game was not completely optimized because they didn't have time to play test it.
It was inscrutable. Yeah. yeah. People had no idea what they needed to do. So they needed to be patching for quite some time.
Yeah.
After the release. Actually, you can hear a little bit more about their writing on Trevor Strunk's podcast.
Oh.
Our good friend Trevor, who was just on.
In our other campfire yeah. episode.
His episode, he actually has two episodes that I know of from No Cartridge. One was one that he did with Scott Benson that he just released on the public feed like a week ago.
Yep.
I don't think he knew
something
we were doing
air,
this.
Man.
Yeah.
Something in the air.
But he also did an episode that's also a public episode, episode 135, Outer Wilds Forever, with Alex and Kelsey Beecham.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. Where they talk about the process of writing this game.
You know, as I said, if you've had friends who've recommended this game to you, they don't do it lightly. They're like, you have to play this game. And
yeah.
today we're going to discuss why that is. And there's no better place to start than at the very beginning, which is in the broadest terms. Outer Wilds is a space exploration game where you fly a spaceship to different planets, explore those planets while solving the mysteries of the universe. And we begin on Timber Hearth.
Yes.
You play as an unnamed Hearthian.
Yeah.
It is not a human, which
you are usually referred to as hatchling, which means
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
you're, I guess, on the younger side or just on the inexperienced side.
Yeah.
I like these guys. They're cute little blue guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have four eyes.
You got four eyes. You're kind of, I don't know, salamander or something.
Yeah. And, I would say that. You kind of look like the, what's Commander Zapp's assistant on Futurama?
Oh, Kiff, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of look a little bit like
little
Kiff.
Kiff-like.
Yeah, okay. A little Kiff-like.
But your society has a space program,
mm-hmm.
and you're the last astronaut in that program to take off. Many other explorers have gone before you, about five, I think, right? Something like that.
A program known as Outer Wilds Ventures.
Yes. Yes. Everything is made out of wood. Your ship is made out of wood. Your homes are made out of wood. Everyone lives in like one big crater that's full of trees.
Yeah. I think the safest thing is
you drink sap.
Yeah. I think the safest thing is to put these jet propulsion engines, all this fire around your very wooden spaceship.
On a wooden platform.
On a wooden platform. It'd be funny if every time you took off, you just watched the entire planet burn underneath you. You make your way through the town. There's a lovely tutorial section here where you learn all the mechanics you're going to need for the rest of the game.
Yep. So here, this is where one of the things about the game can be different, because all of the orbits are still happening according to the time that they fit on, but the loop isn't going on. Because this is a long ass tutorial. There
right.
are a lot of things that they're going to teach you in this game, and you're going to learn just basically everything that you can do at the very top.
Oh, does the loop not actually start until you take off for the first time?
Yeah. Because the tutorial takes probably about an hour.
It takes about an hour to get through. You can circumvent it. Like there's a way
you can it just sort of places things along the way to where you need to go, but no one's ever blocking your path.
Right.
No.
Which is nice, because like when I went back through it for this time,
yeah.
I remembered everything about what I needed to do. So I just went and got the launch codes mm-hmm. and got up in the air right away.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's what you're trying to do,
yeah.
right? Is you're trying to get the launch codes to your ship so that you can, in fact, take off and explore the galaxy.
So you just have to go to the observatory on the other side of the crater. The loop is small enough that it is kind of generous with that. It's a 22-minute loop.
Right.
So you don't need to, you know, it's like Majora's Mask. It's like these really long sections. And you have to do certain things only within that time, right, going to multiple places. This is always really understanding that you have 22 minutes to do anything. So it's like, go to one place, you know, go through it all. Next loop, you do something else, right? Yeah. So you get to talk to the villagers. You learn that they like to drink sap. Yeah. It seems to be what everyone eats and everything. You learn how to use certain devices. There are these two kids who play hide and seek and have these little radio transmitters. They teach you how to use the radio.
The stereoscope.
Frequency mm-hmm. picker-upper.
Yeah, stereoscope, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just explaining what it does.
It's a frequency picker-upper, yeah.
It's a frequency picker-upper. Yeah, the quilted it's frequency picker-upper.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it shows you that, like, yeah, there are children here. There's sort of an interesting social dynamic, which is that there don't seem to be, like, parents or nuclear families. There's no... You're not a sexually dimorphic species. Everyone uses they as a pronoun.
Yeah.
Because there's just like a single gender or non-gender.
The game is woke.
The game is woke, right? But it's really thinking in terms of like, this is a totally different kind of society and a totally different kind of being. The solar system is also very small. Mm-hmm. All the planets are like a couple of kilometers mm-hmm. apart from each other. This is not the Kerbal Space Program. But like, you do get a sense of who all of these people are. Everyone's sitting, relaxing, playing music. Children playing hide and seek.
Hey there, you are listening to a preview of a premium episode of The Worst of All Possible Worlds. If you'd like to listen to the rest of this, head on over to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/worstofall. And you can listen to not only the rest of this episode, but our entire backlog of premium episodes, bonus episodes, and if you subscribe at the $10 tier, you will get an extra episode of the podcast every single month. Again, that is patreon.com/worstofall. Hope to see you there.